The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. If you remember last week's Gospel, we heard these words from Jesus: "Money is the root of all evil." And today we have this parable now of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, from the outset, you might ask, why doesn't the rich man have a name? We get to hear the poor man's name, Lazarus. The rich man has no name. Maybe because Jesus was saying to all of us, this could be any one of us sitting in these pews. We are the rich man, but we want to be Lazarus. The contrast of these two figures of the parable, I think, should interest us. The rich man is living in what can be described as a gated community, wearing the best designer clothing you can imagine, eating the best foods available. He has everything he wants. Every earthly pleasure is his. Lazarus, on the other hand, is sick, with sores, starving, and would gladly eat out of the trash. He is on the outside of the gate, because only certain people are let in. Everyone is blind and cannot or won't recognize his situation. No one sees Lazarus. Now, have any of you seen the wonderful movie that came out many years ago called Schindler's List? So if you haven't seen it, this is a big spoiler alert. Sorry. Sorry, yes. You have to go home and watch it. There's a beautiful and tragic moment at the end of the movie, so I'm really spoiling it. But if you don't know the story, Schindler was a man who was good at business, able to make money easy, and he found that with the Nazis coming into power where he was, he would be able to work this well and make a lot of money. So he began to do that. But at some point in the movie, he recognized that what was actually happening was a great evil. So he shifted his mode of operation to be able to actually help the Jewish people through his money and his ability to know people and get the things that he needed. At the end of the movie, he finds himself surrounded by all of these Jewish people who he had helped. He helped save them. He used his influence and money to help free hundreds of Jewish people from what would have been certain death. So there's this moment where he's surrounded by these Jewish people, but in that moment of gratitude from them and appreciation for this selfless work that he did, he looks down at his wrist and he sees a gold watch that he was wearing. He begins to cry out, "I could have done more. I could have used this to save more people. I could have lived a different life. I could have seen with different eyes." He recognized within his mind and heart the inability of him to be able to see what was right in front of him. One of the sins that we don't always hear about in the Catholic Church or in our Catholic tradition, but I would say is very prevalent amongst most people, is the sin of omission. The rich man suffers greatly from this sin. He's not necessarily an evil person. He just doesn't recognize what's going on around him and chooses not to see it. This sin is the inability to respond to the evil going on around us. It's choosing to see, or possibly seeing but choosing to ignore, the needs of others, the sin that surrounds us, the decision to not speak up and defend our faith, to not reach out in love to a friend in need, to remain selfish, either with our money or our time or our talents, for God and His church, to see, the inability to see the hand of God, or not able to see the hand of the poor and then not see God, to omit the good that we should do and remain within the life that makes us blind. So the rich man is not necessarily doing anything wrong. At least he doesn't think he is. And on the outset, you wouldn't see that he was doing anything wrong. We don't know if he lived a life of sin, but his condition certainly caused him to not see Lazarus. Even when Lazarus was with Abraham, in the bosom of Abraham, they say, that means he's in heaven. And the rich man is in hell. Even from there, he doesn't recognize the problem. And this is part of the story that is actually kind of funny. From hell, the rich man calls out to Abraham and says, "Hey, send Lazarus over here to help me." In other words, could you send your servant over? Because I need a servant. I need someone to help me and serve me. Ease my suffering. The rich man didn't see. It's actually kind of a good definition of what hell is, probably. It's an eternal inability to see what's going on around you. Just seeing what's right in front of you. Just seeing yourself for eternity. Today is not just a call, then, to serve the poor or to reach out in love. It's not just a call to see those around us. It's the call to help open the eyes of the poor who have everything. The poor who have all the earthly things, but still do not have Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who can open the eyes of those who do not see or understand or even desire to love as Jesus. Jesus opens our minds to see the infinite treasure of heaven. So what is the great chasm in your life that keeps you from seeing the truth around you? Sometimes we sin by omission because we are stuck. Stuck in sin, addicted to our pleasures, lost in a world of selfishness. But in the distance, across that chasm, we hear a small voice. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is calling us to mercy, to embrace the cross, to love truth, to encounter him constantly. The chasm that is described in this gospel, and when we imagine it in our minds, whether you imagine it being something of great distance or at least something far enough where we could never jump across or climb over or get there in any way, but actually the chasm is never too far when we recognize the mercy of God being offered. And it's that mercy and love of God that opens our eyes to see Jesus. Reach out with a desire for mercy, to be whole and complete in the love of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.